it's red.
Yeah.
You know, and red indicates bad.
is that unique to Wisconsin, or is ours worse than others?
No. No, I mean, it's not. Seem to be doing better than most states in terms of healthcare professionals, at least according to Mental Health of America's state survey. Like, we seem to have some of the best coverage. But contextually, when everywhere is bad, it's not that we're the best, we're just the least bad.
Right.
And that's not, you know, it's not sufficient to say that we're making the most of a very terrible system. I mean, it's better than other states, but we have in Wisconsin some really unique resources. We have some of the best institutions in the country, I think. And we have a really strong focus on healthcare in the state. And we also are a brain drain state, which means that people come here, they get educated, and then they leave to go to other places. It's not to no one's fault, right? You know, like, it's hard to convince somebody who has these big dreams of working in a city to work in the Northwoods. You know, it's really hard to appeal to people who are, maybe they're young, they're single, they want to meet somebody, have a family, and then there's a job opening in Ashland, and it's hard to convince people to do that. And those rural areas need the most help, but they're still struggling. Like, there's like tri-county support systems, like multiple counties coming together. But that also means that, say, someone that's living up in the North Woods, they might have to travel an hour to find services.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's just being generous. Yeah.
That's crazy. Here we're talking with Natalie Albert on the Rational Revolution about mental health. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. We'll see you back in a little bit.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House says President Biden has been briefed on the situation involving Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi. His helicopter suffered what Iranian state media called a hard landing near the border with Azerbaijan, and there's been no word on his condition. The president was in Atlanta. He delivered the commencement address at Morehouse College. Some students turned their back in protest of U.S. support for Israel and its war with Hamas. President Biden, during his speech, said of the humanitarian crisis,
"It's a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. That's why I've called for an immediate ceasefire. An immediate ceasefire to stop the fighting. Bring the hostages home."
90-year-old Ed Dwight, a former Air Force test pilot, became the oldest person in space. He was on board a tourist rocket that lifted off from Texas, and entertainment mogul Diddy apologized in a video for his actions after CNN obtained a video of Diddy assaulting his then-girlfriend. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
a showdown in Houston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Astros series wrapping up. We'll have a recap of today's game later tonight. Last night, the Brewers with a 4-2 win over the Astros in Houston. Fifth inning, and the Brewers' William Contreras, one of the top batters in the National League, drained 41-year-old Justin Verlander out of 13 pitches and a full count before crushing a three-run homer to take the lead. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I think the hitters that I've seen get in those situations, they get into a mode where they're just like, okay, see it good. You know, I tell pitchers in that situation, throw a ball. They're in swing mode, throw a ball. But obviously, that's a good theory if they don't do it. I think he was just in a tremendously locked in pitch to pitch.
Racing wrapping up at Road America. Vintage cars like Mustangs, Camaros, Thunderbirds, and more at the track in Plymouth, Wisconsin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds, the theme for your Sunday. Light winds and highs in the lower 70s. There may be a late day shower. Really, though, the better chance of showers and storms will be tonight. There could be some locally heavy rainfall. Lows dropping to the upper 50s. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today's tip is about saving at the supermarket. I'm talking about buying in bulk. I don't mean like mega bulk when you take your car to Costco and you fill the whole thing up with beef jerky and toilet paper. I'm talking about those dispensers at the grocery store, you know, the bins with the scoops in them, or those, you turn the thing and then you fill a little bag with nuts or beans or whatever. That's what I mean. Savings can range from just pennies cheaper to like 30 or even 50% off. I mean, things can really add up. Smart bulk buys are things like flour, sugar, dried beans, things like that. Now imagine you save even just 10 cents a day on one thing that you use every day. Over the course of a year, that's like $30. Imagine finding 10 things like that, $300. I mean, this can really add up. And that was your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much, I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Toomey and Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who gives us an overview of summer weather and tells us how to deal with ticks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. Mark Becker on the Rational Revolution. We've got Natalie Albert. We're talking about mental health and kind of where we struggle with as a state. Natalie is the mental health beat reporter for the USA Today Network. You've just completed, I don't know if you've completed, but you're working on, it was Kids in Crisis. Mm-hmm. And your recent work includes topics like dealing with school shootings, older adults with mental illness, homelessness, children struggling with mental health, working women having an unequal share of the load, drug abuse, fentanyl, opioid misuse. Mm-hmm. I mean, these topics are huge and painful and big. You wrote an article on May 8th that I really recommend people read if you're a subscriber. That it was very raw, very personal when you talked about what therapy has been for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can relate to that as a kid. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's I was a middle child, and I don't know if it's like middle child syndrome or whatever it was, but like
I'm a middle child.
Yeah, are you really? Yeah.
Yes.
And it's the things that, you know, I grew up and nothing that I did was good enough. And, you know, that led me to be accepting and be okay with being in a very emotionally abusive relationship mm-hmm. towards me. And, you know, getting out of that was very traumatic. And some of those things that I deal with, I mean, you know, my wife deals with my issues, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, but when I was a kid, my parents were very good with, okay, well, let's talk to someone. I had therapy as a child, you know, medication, all that good stuff. But, you know, growing up and being more self-aware mm-hmm. and, you know, having some coping things has helped, but like, holy crap, there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, I think we were talking on the other side of the break about COVID and it's, it kind of, you know, put the spotlight of the need in the community into hyperdrive.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been crazy. And I look at what's going on now and I look at, you know, I have kids that are in school. One, I have a fifth grader, I have a kindergartner, and I look at what kids deal with today, and it's horrible.
Yeah, it's even different than it was 5 years ago.
Yes,
and it's different than it was 10 years ago. It's different than it was 20 years ago, right? And so it's interesting to be an adult generation working with kids because yeah. we tend to extrapolate our own experiences and put them onto kids, but we're dealing with a whole other sect of children.
Mm-hmm.
These are children who, because of the pandemic, missed like many years of important social connections. And we are, as human beings, hardwired to make social connections. We're social beings. Whether or not we're always social, that's fine. You know, like that's why Netflix exists.
Right.
You know, that's why God yes. created streaming.
Right.
But the whole idea that some kids did not learn how to socially connect with other people. I talk to kids all the time who say, I've never had a deep conversation in my life,
yep.
in person yep. with somebody. And that isn't, that says nothing bad about who they are. It's just the reality that for a large chunk of their reckoning years, they didn't have social supports in person. And that changes your brain chemistry. Okay. And so we are dealing with kids who are struggling to talk face to face with their peers, with adults in a more connected way. It's hard to tell someone what you had for dinner last night. You know, it's going to be that much harder to say, I struggle at night because I'm in pain. And the other thing that COVID did that we don't talk about is it's increased expectations. Everyone is constantly talking about how we need to get kids back in lockstep with academic performance. Mm. And that's a lot of pressure to put on students.
And teachers.
And if that's the constant rule of thumb, then kids are going to be constantly working toward and trying to meet those expectations at the disservice of their mental health. You can't put those demands on kids without also giving them play. You know, you can't you can't make kids say, you have to learn to read right now, without saying, let's bake cookies and watch a movie in silence and just be well together. Those two things are really important
yeah.
to have at the same time. But right now we have these higher expectations to deal with the fallout of COVID. We have social media, which is both good and bad. I mean, it mostly gets a bad rap, but there are good things about it. And we have a supply problem with regard to the workforce. And there are resource deserts, depending on where you live in the state. So all of those things combine to make what kids are going through that much harder for us to relate to. I'm a millennial. Mm-hmm, I grew up and I remember the sound of my AOL.com connecting the modem.
Oh yes.
You know, busy.
Don't pick up the phone.
Don't pick up the phone. Do not dare. Uh-huh. And I remember those feelings of connecting to the internet. Oh. But then then you went off the internet. You were off your computer and you got to go outside. And kids are just right now on their phones all the time. And it's not just kids. I was in yoga yesterday and someone was looking at their phone during yoga. This is an adult human. So yeah. Like, it's not just related. It's like kids pick up what adults do. Mm-hmm. So if adults are on their phones all the time, what does that do?
Right. Here we're talking with Natalie Albert, a columnist for the USA Today that covers mental health. And, you know, it's interesting. I have a son that's in fifth grade, and he was from a previous marriage. And then my wife and I have two children together. And our oldest is in kindergarten. And my son goes to Pulaski. And I don't want to say what school, but like his fifth grade class are terrible to each other. Mm-hmm. Is evil, just horrible to each other. The things that you know are said, the bullying, constant fighting, and you know, and kids get this from parents too, where mm-hmm. you know, my son would have a spelling test and he got 18 out of 20, and I'm like, dude, great, that's mm-hmm. awesome. And then mm-hmm. from a different person, he would get, oh, what two did you get wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, and so like my wife and I, we try to really focus with our kids on just be a good person. Mm-hmm. I don't care about your grades, because your grades are going to be what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. We can help you, but that's not everything. You know, how you treat others is really going to be the mark of who you are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we put my son in some therapy and it was really good, but then our insurance switched.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had to pay for all of it out of pocket. $350 for a session, you know, and we can't do that.
Right.
How do kids get the help they need? Yesterday, RIP Sammy was trending on Twitter. Mm. It was a 10-year-old boy, 10 years old, mm-hmm. who was bullied mercilessly and ended his life.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's the bullying is very different now. I think there's a lot of knee-jerk reaction when people hear bullying. Bullying's always existed, have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But there has never been a period where there was 24/7 bullying. Your phone attaches to the student body, and it attaches to the bullying student body as well. If you suspect maybe your kid is on their phone at night when they shouldn't be, they probably are. We've all, and maybe not all of us, I hope not all of us, but when people are publicly talking about us, it is horrible mm-hmm. to hear. As, you know, a 30-something, when I see people talking about me on the internet, I sometimes cry. And it's painful and mean, and I have a fully developed frontal cortex.
Mm.
And
Right.
You don't develop that until like 25, right? So,
right.
Like fully, I mean, obviously you have some of it, but so that's a huge problem. It's not going away, and the support systems need to improve. There is help. School districts are doing a good amount of a job at this. Like, they could be doing a much better job at bully prevention. But in terms of accessing services, some schools have a consortium where there's, you know, they're part of a larger county body that can work with providers and work on supplying kids who can't afford therapy, some sort of grant programs to help mitigate the cost. but for everyone else, it's a really prohibitive experience. There are some solutions. You know, I know there are people that go to group therapy. Mm-hmm. There's getting involved in like boys and girls clubs and or doing something to establish a trusted adult in a child's life that isn't the parent. Mm. We know that trusted adults do so much to improve the mental health of our kids. I mean, when I think about a trusted adult, someone comes to mind from when I was a kid that really helped guide me, even if it was simply looking me in the eye and saying, good morning, and how are you? And I'm worried about you.
It's crazy because I had one of those too. Mm-hmm. And he was someone that it was like a father figure. Mm-hmm. And I went through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And he didn't pick me. Mm-hmm. And so even as an adult, mm-hmm. you get these feelings of, well, I'm not good enough. Mm. You know, and it's like, holy crap. And then some of the stuff that you deal with, you know, and I can't imagine dealing with some of these things at 10 or 12. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think some of the school districts have done good things. They implemented the Hope Squad at my kids' elementary school. But then now, did they do that too early? Because some kids wanted to get into the Hope Squad, but didn't. Why aren't they good enough?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, okay.
It's interesting. You know, I've talked to people who say, oh, like there are certain people that just have that it factor for being a mental health leader. And I worry about that because that's determined by an adult. But also I think that things like Hope Squad are really awesome. And if you don't know what that is, Hope Squad is a peer-centered, peer-led group that allows kids to talk to one another about what they're going through. That statistics show that kids, when they're struggling, talk to other kids.
Yes.
And so being able to have someone that knows things like QPR or question, persuade, and refer, being able to have a kid know who to report some sort of risk factors
harmful.
That's really helpful. But it's, you know, it's not the only solution.
Right.
It's one. But in order to address mental health, it has to be a community-wide response. It can't just fall on students. It can't just fall on parents. It can't just fall on teachers. It has to be a full continuum of care that the community is wrapping themselves around. And that can help so many things. We are very individualized in this country.
Yeah.
And that may need to change as we realize the limits of that individualism.
Right. And we're going to talk about that on the other side because I want to talk about, we talked about a lot of doom and gloom, but I want to talk about the positive.
Yes.
What's going on? What can we do back here on the Rational Revolution here with Mark and Natalie? We'll see you in a little bit. We all want to change the world. Tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It truly pays to be a member of Egg Country Farm Credit Services. For the fifth year in a row, Egg Country is paying a 1% patronage dividend on all eligible business for 2023. The co-op is also making a special second payment of 0.5%. Together, Egg Country members will receive a record $125 million. That's the power of the co-op. Egg Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Egg Country is an equal opportunity lender.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. We got Mark Becker here. I'm your host. We're with Natalie Albert, columnist for the USA Today, talking about mental health. We were talking about doom and gloom and all the things that have been going wrong and what's hurting in our communities. But you mentioned something on the other side. You said that this is a community awareness issue. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about, you know, how do we address this as a community?
Yeah, so it's important that we talk positives. You know, I think people are much more keen on listening to positives that are coming from this. Studies do suggest that we respond well to positive news. And so some positive news that we have about mental health, teachers are more and more engaging with mental health awareness and education. So, and I know that in summer times, a lot of school districts will get together to teach how to have more awareness over symptoms and risk factors that they should be keen to observe. And if they're not comfortable, say, like, I mean, most high school, middle school, elementary school teachers, they're probably, you know, the reason they got into teaching at the grade level isn't to monitor people's mental health. It's to teach calculus.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, this is a way for them to be able to identify, okay, like if grades suddenly drop or someone in class is suddenly not communicating, if they're not showering and it's very clear, if they're not showing up to class, these are all signs that something's wrong. And so here are the proper steps you can take. And so that's been improving quite a bit.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's one of the things that I think is interesting because I, you know, in my time in politics, I've dealt with a lot of, or I've dealt with, but I've interacted with a lot of reporters. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, you have to balance, you know, wanting to cause change with calling balls and strikes. Mm-hmm. In this role, how do you, because I know this is a passion of yours, how do you try to impact the issue as a whole, but balance that with, this is where we're at?
It is hard. It is hard to have to write the same stories over and over again.
Right.
But I think, as you know, you said earlier, and this, people take liberties at facts, but facts do matter. If you just keep giving the same facts over and over again, that 1 in 4 kids are struggling with their mental health, that 1 in half of girls are contemplating suicide. These are numbers.
Half
are contemplating suicide. There is a pervasive sense of hopelessness and sadness in schools. And, you know, and it's worse for marginalized students. It's and you know, all of these factors they're coming from students. They're not randomized studies that are estimations of what kids are going through. These are surveys that are conducted throughout high schools in Wisconsin. And it is concerning. I can't not be passionate and scared for young people. And I don't pretend some idea that I'm objective about whether I want a child to be well. I think it's important for me to look directly at people when I say this child is suffering. I don't care how we spin it. This is a kid in pain. And what, as a politician, are you going to do to help lift up this generation? There shouldn't be politicians out there that could look at those numbers and think, that's fine.
Meh, right.
Yeah. And if there are, I do want people to know that's the case. You know, we do need more people paying attention to an issue that has been historically unrecognized or underrecognized. So I will keep repeating stats. I will keep repeating facts. I will keep telling narrative stories that are human driven about where we are with kids, where we are with women, with older adults, with LGBTQ people, with marginalized folks. Like, it's so important to keep repeating it.
What can we do as a society? What can I do, or Todd, the God, the producer, do? What can we do?
Be kind, you know, and open and not judgmental of what someone else is going through. And, you know, if you can, if there are programs at your schools, if there are referendums coming up that could put more money into mental health programs, look into that, or ask leaders of schools, like, what are the mental health programs that exist and what needs to happen to get mental health programs at my school? And chances are they'll say, we need money. And so get involved, like, become a community voice and tell the story of people who are struggling. Tell the story of Sammy, the 10-year-old, and all the other children who are at risk right now, because there are so many who are at risk. There are a lot who aren't, and that's awesome. I just feel like it's harder and harder as a reporter for me to find those kids.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I couldn't even read the article, because I'm like, oh, my God, I can't. You know, because it's so difficult. And I think, you know, if there's a takeaway from our conversation, I hope it's that we all are in this together, and we have to, you know, have mindfulness, something that we try to teach our kids. Be kind, be mindful. Mr. Rogers, right?
Mr. Rogers.
Who's the Mr. Rogers today?
Right. And one other thing I want to just mention before we go, this isn't a political issue.
No, right.
It is the least political.
Yeah.
It risks becoming political, but I sat at a table with a Republican senator recently, and we had a very amazing conversation about what needs to change. And at no point in the conversation did I think, this is a, you know,
He's not sincere.
Oh. I've had conversations with Democrats and had the same takeaway. This is not a partisan issue. This is a human issue. And as long as it stays a human issue, we can make change.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do for the state. Thank you for what you do for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rational Revolution, guys. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us as we look back on the news of the weekend and how the Willie Nelson concert was, and your phone calls. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.